just want to bring some thoughts this morning to your mind, how good the Lord is, and the theme still is upon us taking up our cross and following Christ. I don't think that there's anything that is more important this morning than taking up our cross and following Christ. You know, we put things of the world sometimes before we do the Lord. And I know that probably this is human nature. We let human nature take over the spiritual nature that God has given us. But God says that we are to let the spiritual nature rule and reign in our lives. God has given us the Holy Spirit, and He says that we are to let through the Lord, through our Lord God Almighty, be taught through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Now, in order to do that, we have to put aside the things of the world to be taught in spiritual things. So it's very important in our spiritual, in the spiritual aspects, in our spiritual life, that we put aside the things of the world and follow Christ. Take up your cross. And I think those words are important too, to take up your cross and to follow Christ. As I said the other day, there's a lot of people that follow Christ for many different reasons. And it's not always the right reason that they're following Christ. We read in the New Testament where there were some that followed Him to get food to eat. There were some that followed Him for other things. That's not the right reason. We ought to put it in our minds and in our hearts. The first and most important thing in our lives should be the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be able to follow Him in spirit and in truth in our lives. To search out the Word of God. We say a lot of times, well, you know, I don't know exactly how to follow Christ. Well, the Word of God tells us how to follow Christ. And we're to put off the old man to put on the new man. We're to put the worldly things aside. We're to be endued with the Spirit of God in order to follow the Lord like we should. You can't serve God and mammon. The Word of God says that we can't serve the world. We can't serve the devil and serve God and worship God like we should if we're not wholly in tune with the Lord. It's hard sometimes to put our minds and our hearts upon the things of God. Now, you may say this morning, you know, this sermon is not for me because I follow the Lord and everything in my life is endued upon the things of God. Well, I've got news for you. You'd have a hard time making me believe that, or anyone else probably, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ, because He knows all things, doesn't He? But you want to follow Christ. So we have to hear what the preacher preached. You know, the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So you would need to hear what the preacher preaches. You need to hear what God is speaking to us through the oracles or through the preaching of the Word of God. And it's very important that we be spiritually bound. As the Apostle Paul said, that every place that he went, I believe he was spiritually bound in the Lord. We ought to be spiritually bound in the Lord. And that's the only way that we can truly follow Christ like we should. Now, I'm sure that some of us have been so fired up sometimes to say in the Lord, and we get so spiritually uplifted. And isn't that a good place to be? Isn't that a wonderful place to be when you're lifted up in the Spirit and you want to just, you almost want to shout sometimes when you hear the Word of God preached in power and demonstration, or you read the Word of God in it and God speaks to you through the Word. And you just fill with joy in your heart. Now, I ask you this morning, where had you rather be? Well, had you rather be in the Spirit, or had you rather be thinking about the things of the world? I'd rather be in the Spirit. And so we have to think upon these things. And I want to read to you this morning a couple of verses over in Matthew, and I think I read this the other morning. It says, Jesus teaching his disciples. In the 16th chapter, the 24th verse of Matthew. And this is talking about taking up your cross and following Jesus. And this is one of the... It must have been very important to Jesus Christ to teach this, because as he was going to die upon the cross, these are some of the last words he spoke. So he says in the 24th verse, then Jesus said unto his disciples... Now, he's not just... I know that... Here in the Word of God, it says to his disciples, but the disciples were to teach God's people, and so this is meant for God's people. This is meant to those that love the Lord. If any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, here's a big thing in our lives. We got to deny ourselves. We got to deny the fleshly wants in our life. We got to deny the humanistic wants in our lives to be able to follow Christ. You know, there's a lot of things that's in our lives, garbage, that we need to get out of our lives so we can follow Christ. Until you get the garbage out of your life, you're not going to be able to follow Christ like you should. There's none of it. Now, I'm not saying that we can be perfect. Don't misunderstand what I'm teaching this morning. But what I am saying is that Paul said that we are to strive toward the mark of the high calling, what God has called us for, and I believe that it takes a lifetime to do that. As long as we live in this world, we're still striving toward that mark, aren't we? And I believe that it's going to take until the day we die for the effort that and the power that God has put within us to reach that. If we ever do. If we ever do. A lot of times we fall short of the things that God has called us to do. We fall short in our own lives. We think about destruction. We think about misery in our lives. We think about those things in our lives that's causing us a lot of problems. Well, usually, 99.9% of the time, it's our fault that we're in the place that we're in. Oh, yeah, I know we like to be like Adam, and we want to say, or like Eve. First Eve blamed the devil, and then Adam blamed his wife. And you come on down the line, and you say, well, I listened to someone else, and they're the cause that I've done this. But really, they're not. Really, sometimes it's your fault that you're not in the spirit that you should be in. A lot of times I have a problem sometimes of can't control my thoughts and my anger sometimes, you know. And we have different problems in life, but it's my fault that I let these things get control of me, cause the Apostle Paul says we're to have control over this physical body all the time. We're not to let the devil control us. We're not to let the world control us. We're not to let other people control us. But we're to let God have authority over our lives. And we're to follow Christ. And when God has authority in your life, when you're letting God rule and reign and dwell in your life, then you're in the spirit that you should be in, and you're going to follow Christ. And you're going to want to do the things that God wants you to do. You know, there's many things, and we read in the Word of God, and thoughts come in our mind. When God puts things in our minds that we should do, good things in our hearts, then we should do those things and not just brush them aside and say, well, I'll do that later. You know, I have a bad tendency to put things off. And my wife says, you know, you're always putting things off. Well, the things of God, now this is of my wife, you know, she's always saying the things she wants me to do, I'm always putting them off. But she, you know, sometimes there's good things that our wife wants us to do, and we should do them. But the things of God, we should never put off. You know, next Sunday I'm going to go to church. This Sunday I'm not going to go to church. Next Sunday I'll be in the house of the Lord. Tomorrow, first thing I'm going to do is pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. What better time in your life is to kneel down or to get in your prayer closet and pray for one another when it's fresh on your mind? When God puts it on your mind, then it's good. It's good. Anything that God does is good. There's nothing bad about what God tells us to do. Oh, we may say, you know, that I can't do it. Paul says, all things are possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. He didn't say some things. He didn't say part of the things. He said all things are possible through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if all things are possible, then we have the power of God, don't we? We have the Spirit of God, and we can follow Christ. And some people say, well, it's just too hard to follow Christ. It's too hard to do the things that God has called us to do. You know what? Read about the Apostle Paul's life. I cannot find any place in the Word of God where the Apostle Paul ever turned and walked any other way. He walked with the Lord. He followed Christ all down through the ages of time from the time he was changed on the road to Damascus. And that's what God says He wants us to do. When we were changed, if you've been changed, you've been born to the Spirit of God, God wants us to take up our cross and to follow Him. And don't worry about the material things. Now, we're to be concerned about things, but some people just worry themselves to death about things that they have no control over. Let me tell you some good news this morning. God has control over all things. And even though you may not be prepared, you should be prepared before it ever gets there. Because I'll tell you right now, children of God, and you know this, that there are things going to happen in your life, and we're never prepared for the things that are going to come. We need to be prepared, and the way we get prepared is to follow Christ, to put our minds and hearts and our very selves in the Lord's hands, and put your trials and your troubles in the Lord's hands, and God will take care of them. You know, we look at the and Brother Dave has mentioned this so many times, and Brother Leroy and I have too, over in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, where it says, all things work together for the good of them that love God. Do we really believe that this morning? Even the bad things that happens in our lives, if we're following Christ, then He is going to take care of those things. And it may seem like that we, you know, when something bad happens in our lives, well, how in the world can God take this awful thing that's happened in our life, and how can He take it and make something good happen out? All things are possible through Jesus Christ. All things are possible with God. But God says that we have to put those things that we have no control over, that we can't handle in our lives, we have to put it in the Lord's hands. And we want to try. And I'll just say this, everything that man's ever had anything to do with, he's messed it up so bad, only God can straighten it out. Only the Lord can straighten it out. We start dabbling in things and say, well, I'm going to take care of this myself. God has given us brain. There are things that we can have control over, and we do have control over. There are things, but it's by the power of God that He gives us that we do. But there's things sometimes that comes in our lives that we just don't know how to control, or we don't know how to face. And the best way to face those things which come into our life we can see no good into is just to put it in the hands of the Lord. And He says that there is a good end to it if you're following Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the people that are out in the world following the things of the world and not even thinking about Christ, have no a love of Christ in their heart, have no will to follow God, have no love to follow Christ in their lives, to take up their cross and follow. They're headed for devastation. because they don't even think about the Lord. They're headed for destruction. They may be children of God, but they're headed for destruction in their life. And so many times we see that happening in a child of God's life. Now, I don't know who the children of God is, but he does say one thing. I know we've discussed this some in some of our sermons in the past weeks. Those that take up their cross and follow Christ, they bear forth the good fruit. Those that are not bearing forth good fruit haven't taken up their cross and they're not following Christ. And he says that a good tree don't bear bad fruit. So we need to be good trees. We need to be fruitful trees for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be rooted and grounded. You know, it talks about those seed that were sown upon the rocky ground. And he says they sprang up and they sprouted and they stood for a little while, but they didn't have any good ground. Children of God, we need to be on good ground. We need to be sowed in the rich soil, the soil of the Word of God, the soil of taking up our cross and following Christ through our lives. Oh, we'll have trials and tribulations in our lives, but God will see to it that He will comfort us. And He says over there, when the Apostle Paul prayed three times for him to remove the thorns from his flesh, he says that my grace is sufficient. And here is the fruit of following God. Here is the fruit of being in the Spirit of God, knowing that God's grace and God's going to take care of us through all that we go through in life. Following Christ, taking up our cross and following Christ. Oh, all down through the ages of time, you know, it may sometimes seem like that God is clean gone off and left us, that He's forgotten about us. But God don't go off and leave us. God says that He has a remembrance that He can't forget. And God is with us through all the trials and tribulation. You say, well, why did God leave me? Why did God leave me in this? It's a learning process. Be thankful to God that we have trials and tribulations in our lives because it's a learning process. Be thankful to God that you have the thorns in your flesh because we know that His grace is sufficient to take care of the things in our lives that He allows to come in our lives. You know, God could stop every evil thing coming into us. If He really wanted to, He could stop it. He could stop the trials and tribulations that He does a lot of times. Because He has a hedge around us sometimes, like He did Job. You remember when He removed the hedge from Job? Job didn't do anything because God said Job was most righteous. But sometimes God wants us to see how much strength we have in the Lord. Here's another one that had on the cross of Christ, the great servant Job. God says he was most righteous, and he praised God through all that he went through. As we read the story of Job, we find so many times that all the things that Job went through, and they came in succession. They didn't wait. All of these things came in rapid succession to Job in his life. About the time he thought it was all over with, here comes something else. Bang! And about the time he thought that was over with, here comes something else. And even his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? His wife was against what Job said, why don't you just curse God and die? His three friends had accused Job of sinning and causing all this in his life. But that wasn't what happened. That wasn't what happened to Job because God removed the hedge. And the reason He removed the hedge was He wanted to show us how strong you can be when God is in the matter, when the Lord is in the matter, and when you take up your cross and you follow the Lord, how strong God can be in your life. Listen, I do not think that there's anything that can destroy us, our spirituality in life, when we're following Christ and doing the things that we should be doing to follow Christ. There's no power but the power of God. God has all power. And when we're in the Spirit and we're following Christ, then we're coming to that point. We're in that spirit of God, and we're sacrificing the right sacrifice in our lives when we're following Christ. And there's nothing that can destroy us. Now, I didn't say there wasn't nothing that could happen to us, because things can happen to us. But we'll be strong in the Lord. How do we stay strong in the Lord, and how do we follow Christ? So many times we've spoken about in the sixth chapter of the Ephesian letter about following Christ, haven't we? About this is how we follow Christ. Now, you can't follow Christ and not have on the armor of God. So he says in the sixth chapter in the book of Romans, or the Ephesians, I said Romans, Ephesian letter. You want to turn there with me just a moment. We'll read that and show how much power we have in Jesus Christ when we're walking in these things, and when we have the armor of God on, and when you have the armor of God on, you have everything on. You have everything that God has given you. You have all the power that God has given you to win against the wiles of the devil. You have all the power to follow Christ. You have everything that you need to war against those things that would try to keep you from following Christ. He says in the sixth chapter, the tenth verse, he says, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You see, all the heavenly power comes from God. We can't have any... We can't receive the Spirit of God unless God gives it to us. It says it is God that worketh both the will and the do, whereby we come unto Him crying, "Abba, Father." So it is God. You can't get the Spirit unless God gives it to you. Unless it says only we've been born again of the Spirit of God. And who is the Spirit of God? It is God. It is Jesus Christ. It is three in one, co-equal in power and co-equal in love and co-equal in all the spiritual things. Now, I don't understand the Trinity, but I sure believe it. But anyway, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Put on the whole armor of God so Satan can't get the best of you. Put on the whole armor of God so Satan will flee from you. And that, the Lord says that He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist the devil? You can't resist him unless you're in the Spirit of God. If you're in the spirit of the world, if you're in the spirit of evil, how can you serve God? How can you follow God? You can't follow God in that condition. But he says that we're to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle. Now here it says what the things that we wrestle against. What have you wrestled this morning? I'm sure that most all of us this morning had to wrestle against something of the world, of the evil, of other things. You know, there's two powers. I don't believe there's any in between. There's the power of God and there's the power of devil. There's the spirit of God and there's the spirit of evil. There's no in-between. You're either led by one or the other, according to the Word of God. If you've done something, if you're not following God, then you're following something else. He says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't call, who do you call father? Do you call the evil one father? If you're following him, then you're maybe calling him the father, your father. If you're following Jesus Christ, if you're in the Spirit, if you're taking up your cross and following Christ, then He is your Father. You can call Him Father. And you know Him as your Father. And you serve Him as your Father. And you love Him as your Father. The way that we're supposed to love Him. You know, I spoke many times about my earthly father and how I used to want to please Him. And I do my Heavenly Father. I want to please my Heavenly Father. And the reason I bring this in is to maybe theorize how we feel, you know. And my earthly father, how I loved him. And how I appreciated him. And sometimes my father would leave me and I was the oldest child in the family, so he'd always leave me kindly in charge of the younger ones. Of course, I never could get them. I never was too much on being a boss or anything. And he said, you make my brother Ronnie, you make him do this, and you make my sister do this. And, of course, I couldn't make sis do nothing. But my brother Ronnie, I used to kindly threaten him and tell him I was going to whip him if he didn't do it, because I knew I'd get a whipping if he didn't do it. So we had to do it together, you know. But we never did fight too much as brothers and sisters. Of course, I know y'all kind of know what I'm talking about, but my dad would go off to work, and he'd say, son, I want those tomatoes. We used to raise, it seemed to me, like a jillion tomatoes. And we sold tomatoes, and we sold vegetables out of the garden like Brother Copeland used to do. And so he'd say, I want those suckers out of that tomato patch by the time I get home. And if it wasn't, I better have a good excuse the reason that the work wasn't done. And usually I'd try to blame it on Ronnie, you know, if it wasn't done. I'd always try to blame. Isn't that the way we are? But you know what? I love my father so much. And he only whipped me 5 times in my whole life, and I remember all 5 whippings that I got from him, because if they seen my father whip me today, they would arrest him and put him in jail. But you know, those whippings that I got from my father, and I never got enough of them, they were of love. He'd say, son, this is going to hurt me far more than it hurt you. I never could understand that. But I still loved and respected my father, no matter what. And that's the way that we should feel more toward our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We should love Him with... He says that the great commandment is to love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart. In other words, take up your cross and follow Him in that great love, and you'll be able to feel the very essence of God in your life. You know, have you ever felt the very essence of God in your life? I have a few times in my life, and still do today sometimes feel the very essence of God in my life. When I'm in my prayer closet and down on my knees, sometimes, oh, I just can feel God in my life. And know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that He loves me and that He takes care of me. And that even though sometimes I feel weary in this old world and I feel tired in this old world, and I see things going on in my life and things going on in other people's life, and I just say, Lord, we have to put it all in Your hands, don't we? It's all in Your hands, Lord. No matter what you say, Lord, it is in God's hands, because He has all power. So the Apostle Paul goes on in the Ephesian letter, and he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This world. Not some other world. A lot of people think there's other worlds. I don't believe there are. There's other planets and things like that, but, you know, some people believe there's little Martians and all these things. I believe this is God's only creation right here in this world. He says, against spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. So we allow spiritual wickedness in our life. There's a spirituality of God, then there's a spirituality of wickedness in our life. But the Lord says we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Not half of it, but the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not just one time a week. I believe that's every day of our life. I believe that we ought to put on the whole armor of God and be prepared to battle. We ought to not never take the armor of God off. We are to leave it on. Even when we go to bed at night, we ought to have it on. Because sometimes, even through the night, we can think bad things. I wake up sometimes through the night, but usually it's not to think bad things. I wake up through the night thinking about the Lord. That's the way I like to wake up. I wake up of a morning and my feet hit the floor, and the first thing that I think about, how beautiful the day is. How beautiful. I'm thankful to God that He has allowed me to arise and see the beauty of another day, even though it may be raining like it was this morning. Lord, thank You for my life. Thank You for the church. Thank You for God's people that I know and love. Thank You for the cross that I bear. Thank You, God, that You have that You take care of me through all the trials and tribulations of my life. Thank You, Lord, for the thorns in my flesh, and I know that Your grace is sufficient, and I want to follow You all of my life, Lord, until the day that I die, and after I die, I won't have to worry about it because I'll go home, be of the Lord. I won't have any worries anymore. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, that you may be able to be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. All. It didn't say part, but it said having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, there's so much in the sixth chapter of the Ephesian letter, especially this part of it. There's so much that we can learn how to prepare and how to go forth in the battles and how to put on these things and how to follow Christ. God didn't leave us ignorant about these things. You know, when we've been born again of the Spirit of God, He gives us wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom when we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said at one time, you know, when he was, before he was changed on the road to Damascus, he said, "Hey, you done everything in ignorance." Well, we don't have any excuse today, do we? We try to make excuses and reason with God, but we've got no business trying to say, "Why, Lord, did this happen? And why, God, did You do this? And why this? And why that?" God never made no mistakes, did He, Brother Al? God never makes a mistake. Everything is done perfectly with God. And He says, praying. And here's probably something that we fall so short in, is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice it says in the Spirit. The only way we can worship God is in spirit and truth. The only way we can follow Christ, pick up our cross, and follow Christ is in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You know, you don't just want to pray for yourself. It says to pray for all the saints of God. You know, I thought about something about, you know, if we were going to, and just to give you an instance, let's say that we was getting ready to go meet the president, and we prepare ourselves, we get all dressed up, wouldn't we? We probably want to look our best, and we probably write out a bunch of things on a sheet of paper what we're going to say to the president. We'd go over and over that, wouldn't we? You know, I think about we need to be prepared spiritually to worship God. As we're going to the invitation of the meet President Bush to come and to visit with him and to have and to take with him. Talk with him. Have a talk with the president. And you'd really prepare yourself, wouldn't you? You say, "Boy, I'm..." And you'd want to tell everybody, wouldn't you? I'd tell all y'all, "Well, I'm going to meet the president." Did you tell people that you was going to, worship the Lord this morning? Which is more important? Now, the point I'm trying to get across here is that we won't say nothing when we're going to worship God. You know, well, we might casually mention it, but we don't get ourselves prepared when we go into worship the Lord. We don't We're in a no-caring mood sometimes when we come to worship God. We should be anxious. We should be lifted up, and we should have on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be in the Spirit when we come to worship God. When you're going to worship God, when you're going to take up your cross, when you're taking up your cross and following Christ, then we should be prepared. Oh, I'm going to tell all my friends. I'm going to tell everybody that I can tell that I'm going to sit down and talk with the president. How many friends have you told about the Lord Jesus Christ? How many have you witnessed to in the last week or so? So we're all right. We're already falling short, aren't we? We're already falling short. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. Pick up your cross and follow Christ. When we do that, we're eating from the Lord's table. Oh, what a feast, brothers and sisters in Christ. What a feast to have and to be filled with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is the most wonderful, the most bountiful, the most fullest thing that we can have in life. The joy of the Lord, spiritual food, to eat, and to dine with the Lord. I don't want to dine with the devil. I'd like to get him completely out of my life. And never, it wouldn't hurt me one bit if I never heard from him or seen him again. Well, or seen the evidence of him. I don't know what the devil looks like. But the Lord said over, when he was over in the Garden of Eden, said he's more subtile than any creature. So that meant he was probably beautiful. And a lot of times today, he appears in the same way. He says he can appear as an angel of light. He can appear. But it didn't say he was the angel, was an angel of light. He says he can appear. We can be fooled. We need to be aware of everything in our life. Take up our cross and to follow Christ, to be prepared spiritually to walk and talk with God. It's not just to walk the walk. It's not just to talk to... But I mean, it's serving God with your whole heart. As the psalmist David says, we don't serve God half-heartedly, but we serve Him with purpose, and we serve Him with love, and we serve Him... We should show forth the good fruits. The good fruits. And when you got on the cross of Jesus Christ, when you follow Christ, then you're happy. No matter what's in your life, no matter what comes in your life, you'll be happy. With all the trials and tribulations, you can say, Lord, I praise You. I praise You for the things that I know, that I even can't control. But I praise You, God, for Your loving kindness and Your mercy upon me. I praise You, Lord, because I know in my heart I love You. I love You, Lord, because You first loved me. I love You. I love my Lord and Savior because He died upon the cross for me. And how can I love Him? How can I know Him if I'm not in the Spirit to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? How can I know the fullness of God's love? By taking up your cross and following Christ. May the Lord bless and keep you.